Shashina yara wewe temutu toka ninga toka karongwe wariweka nunene toka karongwe unomadhiradhiro gerina wageri clear unenjo ditadhivuro kutsa soba fatu kukwathiringa na tatu kwa advisor uningo mapuko uponga madhiradhiro kuhe gasire mema atiriga nembea simbondi yarimo Zimbabwe munga pukwe murombora kucha okuyarombora kucha you guys they are your investors right shine tamu investinga nemo shine tamu investinga nemo Zimbabwe muno e percenta diro mirongo nano nambari otadikara do chirongo otego netamu kuthapo e percenta dini diri mirongo nena hetatu percenta diro mirongo nano nambari na dikare diri muwana wa chirongo e investa sachi mashona ikara ya ya kara ya jomingi nacho shashipuchi ndarongo po South Africa mipene investors wako kwa kwa itatazi na tango ithi mbondo no o ya kara haa kutha po epresi ndadishe dino mirongo etatu na nano taganja epresi nolongo na nano kwa chirongo kwa Namibia nukuri ni huno na tango no kwa Zambia ya maru wa manini ndunu ungue hogoro la kucha o chirongo tochipe mwe epresi ndangapi tochipe mwe ndatu tochipe mwe nolongo tochipe mwe ne nengo tovuru nukuri ukari na chipamu chocho neshi ya katiruwa po umango njono konsamani munga be oyaka ninga ngini oyaka tameka tari locating ya mweta hiko South Africa ya mweta hiko Zambia ya mweta hiko Namibia otego tathigipo Zimbabwe shatameka tathigipo Zimbabwe ekonomiko chirongo ni njiti kila nida turuwa po tatameka ni tarihi nai yuano tamono ne kuchayo madhadiro konsamani ogeri na wa samanota ndo pitho chirongo samani wote ko mara ngengo watara ngengo watara mure ochima totari kie kechike mungabe na samani kie yo Marcus Garvey totari kie ucha uma ekonomi girongo yao oyari ambara ye gatunga pongini yuhenebu tutela kuchano opuari roma dira diro omore ma mara somehow inaga supportingwa ominomonika kwa serika.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who no does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, the time is 3 minutes in the half, 6 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. A very, very good morning to you, to all the Eagle FM listeners, wherever you are listening from, tuning in from. Thank you so much, and we really, really appreciate you for always choosing us. And yeah, happy Workers' Day to you all, and of course, this is early morning scoop. A program that dedicated to you or that is providing you just with the latest update on the economic entrepreneurship public policy. And I am your host, Loisa Shemi, and of course I'll be with you until the hour of 7:30 as usual, just to give you all that. But before we do that, please don't forget to connect with us, or rather visit our platforms. Eagle FM Namibia, you'll find us on Eagle FM, on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, as well as of the Village News web page on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And do not also forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel, for the daily news update, and as well as the newspaper alerts. And do not forget to rather download our app, Eagle FM Namibia, Eagle FM app, sorry. We are available on your Google Play Store and, of course, your App Store. You can able to download and you can able to keep yourself informed wherever you go. And, I mean, we have so many podcasts lined up just for you just to listen through, or you can listen on the current show. Anything that you can able to listen to or from the App Store, from the Eagle app, and that you can find on your Google Play Store and, of course, your App Store. And do not forget also to rather download the Imba app. You'll find it on the Google Play Store and, of course, your App Store. Just to download that. Now, to start off internationally, is that the ministers from the BRICS nations gathered to present a united front against U.S. President Donald Trump's aggressive trade policies. We might take a listen to this update.
Of course, as we mentioned earlier, foreign ministers from the BRICS nations are meeting in Brazil. Let's delve further into the significance of that meeting. We're now joined by William Lee. He's a chief economist at the Milken Institute. Great to have you on the show with us today, sir. Now, of course, the world is watching this meeting pretty closely because it will reveal the group's harmony and also its strategy in its response to these escalating trade tensions and, of course, those tariffs from the U.S. What are your expectations from this meeting?
Well, this is going to be a very important meeting. As you know, the BRICS nations, and especially the ones who are aspiring to be the BRICS nations, collectively represent about half the world's population and just under half the world's GDP. And this is a very growing, dynamic group of nations that are trying to get together to improve the trading system. We should all acknowledge, I think, that the trading system as it exists today was built by the United States after World War II to try to develop the countries that were involved in the war and were so devastated by that World War II. But since then, the 21st century has seen an enormous change in the world economy. The BRICS nations themselves are really the source of that very dynamic change. Many of these countries are now entering into what economists call the middle class. They are now changing the development strategies in a way that no longer require them to be just purely commodity exporters, but rather development strategies that will bring them into the high technologies and the high value added industries of the world. And
well, it looks like we lost him there. Oh, it looks like we have him back. Mr. Lee, can you hear me? Please do go ahead with your point.
Yes, I can. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Please do go ahead with your point.
Yes, well, as I said, the meeting is very important because this dynamic group of countries has to decide how it's going to govern itself and what the high priority items are to reshape the world global trading system. And that's what I expect out of this next set of meetings.
Well, speaking about reshaping the world global trading system, we know this meeting follows the IMF also downgrading the global growth forecast. It also warned starkly about the global economic outlook. How critical is the BRICS grouping and, of course, its mandate going forward to member nations and to reshaping also that global trading landscape?
It'll be absolutely very critical because the nature of the future agreements that we will see in the 21st century will no longer be these large multilateral agreements that we saw in the past. I think we'll see more regional associations, more bilateral agreements, because each country has their own strategy. Each country has their own trading needs. And I think it's easier for countries to negotiate bilaterally or in small groups because, as every political scientist knows, the large groups are subject to the tyranny of the minority. One country can block the passage of an agreement just because it wants its own way. And I think the future will be one where the BRIC countries themselves will be agreeing on different trade policies with themselves and also with the developed world like the United States and in Europe.
Right. And of course, these escalating trade threats, they're not the only issues on the table. We know they'll be talking about the Russia-Ukraine conflict, amongst others. What are the other crises you think that this BRICS grouping will be taking head on at this meeting?
One of the most important decisions that has to be made would be the governance of artificial intelligence and how it's being developed and how its technology is being spread around the world. United States and China represent the focal points of these two as two economies that are developing artificial intelligence at rapid paces. And the technology is spreading to the BRIC world. Jensen Huang, the head of NVIDIA, is going around the world to each sovereign country and saying each country's data is its own natural resource and needs to be developed in a very strategic way for the benefits of its own people. And I think this is one of the areas where this development strategies will allow BRIC countries to leapfrog the development stages into a very advanced stage and high income world very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And before we let you go, I'd like to find out how much of a threat you think the current global economic climate is to BRICS countries. For example, what does this escalating trade conflict mean for BRICS countries? How significant of a threat will it be to the grouping going forward?
That's a great question. I think a lot of the talk about tariffs and how the United States tariff strategy is hurting the BRIC countries and developing world in general. I think one thing you should keep in mind is that, again, the strategy behind President Trump is to reshape this world trading system in a way that allows more smaller regional agreements. And some countries, like, for example, South Africa, one of the largest countries in Africa, it only trades about 8% of its exports to the United States. So even though it's faced with very high tariffs, it's not the main reason why the IMF downgraded its forecast. Their own internal problems are some of the things that they have to resolve, as the IMF has pointed out.
All right, there you have it. The time is 11 minutes in the office o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. Now to move on to the next item is that the African Growth and Opportunity Act, that is AGOA, faces an uncertain future under U.S. President Donald Trump trade policies. Now, with a review of the agreement approaching later this year, many analysts fear AGOA will be scrapped, jeopardizing trade and, of course, investment across the continent. We will take a listen to this.
5 years, the U.S. agreement known as the African Growth and Opportunity Act has been essential for increasing trade and investment in Africa. However, under U.S. President Donald Trump's tough trade policies, AGOA faces an uncertain future. CGTN's Najma Abdirazak reports analysts say they're concerned AGOA could be thrown out when it comes up for review later this year.
The African Growth and Opportunity Act has granted African economies non-reciprocal duty-free access to the lucrative U.S. market for over two decades. Established in 2000, AGOA was championed by President Bill Clinton at the time to boost economic growth across sub-Saharan Africa. Since then, the program has become a lifeline to the 32 African economies eligible to trade under the 25-year-old deal. But soon, they might not be able to, as the continent digests U.S. President Donald Trump's tough trade policies and massive trade tariffs. AGOA is up for renewal in September, and there are big doubts about its future. One Republican lawmaker in the U.S. has already indicated that the legislation is as good as dead. It is a worrying reality that policymakers in Africa face, with Trump's new wave of reciprocal tariffs, the latest threat to override AGOA's benefits and effectively make the program null and void. For Africa, AGOA's benefits have been substantial. For one, the trade pact has led to a significant increase in trade volumes, particularly in textiles, agricultural products, and manufactured goods. These exports have generated crucial revenue over the years, created thousands of jobs, and driven economic growth in participating countries. According to the latest data from the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, U.S. imports under AGOA totaled $9.7 billion in 2023. Top imports were crude oil, apparel, and agriculture. The top exporters were South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, Angola, and Cote d'Ivoire.
But all right, there you have it. Now, to move on to South Africa, is that South African President Cyril Ramaphosa appointed journalist, or the former deputy finance minister, to negotiate with U.S. On trade matters, particularly to address the impact of President Donald Trump's tariffs. Now, however, many believe these strained relations between the two countries might be too far gone to repair in time.
With U.S. President Donald Trump's campaign to make America great again, South Africa looks set to lose its duty-free benefits under AGOA. The citrus industry, an important contributor to the economy, is just one of the sectors that will be hard hit.
What is significant in South Africa is 77 to 85% of South African citrus is exported to world markets. It earns something like $31 billion a year or $35 billion a year in revenue.
It will get even harder after the U.S. president's three-month reprieve is up. With a 30% tariff hike, South Africa will struggle to compete with other citrus-exporting countries like Spain at 20% and Brazil with a 10% minimum base tariff.
The problem is that for those areas in South Africa that produce specifically for the U.S. and have access, it's virtually everything. If you take that out, I mean, you will decimate the 35,000 jobs.
More jobs are at risk in the automotive industry, another beneficiary under AGOA. In 2023, the U.S. was South Africa's third biggest auto export market by value. The poultry industry might be spared as South Africa sells little poultry to the U.S., but U.S. chicken imports may become very expensive and weigh on consumers. In 2017, during Trump's first term in office, American trade officials demanded South Africa import chicken from the U.S. duty-free in return for another 10 years under AGOA.
If we have lost AGOA benefits, then government should withdraw the AGOA quota. And not give that benefit to the U.S.
Trading in new markets will help to soften the blow, but losing AGOA, an agreement that has been in place for over 20 years, will be detrimental to this economy and to South Africans. Thousands of jobs are at risk, and the tariffs will push up inflation, placing even more pressure on consumers. The South African Reserve Bank has already warned that the economy could decline by up to 0.7 percentage points if South Africa is pushed out of the duty-free agreement.
All right, there you have it. Now, to stay in South Africa again, is that Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana will present another national budget to Parliament on 21st May. Now, this comes after the government decided to scrap the previous proposed 0.5 percentage and point value added tax increase after it was widely criticized. Now, Godongwana says the budget will have to be balanced without raising VAT while protecting vital services like education, health and social grant. You might take a lesson.
Finance Minister has described what transpired over the past few months around the national budget as messy. Enoch Godongwana says those in government are navigating an uncharted terrain of a coalition government where everyone is learning. He says VAT will remain at 15% and the focus going forward will be to balance the budget by managing costs better.
We must do more with less, review government spending critically, root out waste. Every cent of public money must be spent wisely. The second issue, we must strengthen revenue collection. As you are aware, in the same budget, I'm making provision for SARS to collect more, particularly for those who still owe SARS, to deal with illicit trading. The third area, we must lay strong foundations for economic growth.
National Treasury says the investor community and rating agencies are not worried about the reversal of the VAT impacting fiscal credibility. The department says credibility will lie in whether the final budget will reflect the careful and responsible management of government's finances and fiscal sustainability.
We had an opportunity to engage with investors on the sidelines of the spring meetings in Washington last week, and the feedback from investors is exactly that. Fiscal credibility is measured by both the investors and by the rating agencies as a function of how effective we are as custodians of public finances. And so that is in turn a function of whether we meet our fiscal goals or not. So what they will be looking to us for and for the government as a whole is, are we able to meet the fiscal goals that we've set for ourselves and those we have outlined over the last few years?
Economist Azar Jamin says the Fed budget presents an opportunity for government to revise growth forecasts on which it bases the budget, given the challenges the global economy has faced since the March budget.
Yeah, I think it's a very fortunate situation that we found ourselves in, because between the 19th of February, when the first budget was presented, and the current situation, there's been a lot of turmoil on global financial markets and expectations of what the year ahead will bring as far as the global economy, and via that, the South African economy, have changed materially, unfortunately, mainly for the worst. And so this does give the government an opportunity to revise its budgeted growth forecasts upon which to base the budget.
Love you all.
Kodongwana says borrowing more is not an option, adding that it would worsen the country's debt crisis, with South Africa already spending more than R1 billion a day to serve its debt.
All right, there you have it. The time is 21 minutes in the of 6 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. Now, to move on to the next item, is that the tugboats have the capability, that's now in Egypt, capability for underwater inspection, firefighting, and can also maneuver 360 degree in narrow area along the waterway to deal with tight situations. Now, you might take a listen to this.
For the Suez Canal to launch the first all-Egyptian tugboats manufactured here at the South Sinai shipyard, a 9,000 square meter factory in the Red Sea coastal city of Safaga.
The shipyard is working around the clock. We've produced 2 tugboats so far, and there are 4 more under construction which will be ready in 6 months. We produce 60% of the components and import 40%, like the engines and machinery. We will be exporting products like outfitting to Turkey and the Netherlands.
The 36 meters long tugboats have the largest pull power of 90 tons.
Tugboats are the soul of the Suez Canal, because every ship that crosses the canal is accompanied by at least 1 tugboat. We have to have our own tugboats fleet to cover the expanding Suez Canal. In 2023, over 26,000 vessels crossed the canal, and you have to have enough tugboats to provide services for all of them.
The local tugboats also have the capability for underwater inspection, firefighting, and can maneuver 360 degrees in narrow areas along the waterway to deal with the tight situations, such as the docking of the Evergreen vessel 3 years ago.
This shipyard is not just another project, but is considered a major turning point for the future of the Suez Canal Authority.
The Suez Canal has lost over 70% of its revenue since the outbreak of the Israeli war on neighboring Gaza. Shipping firms are taking safer alternative routes, which prompted officials to tap into local manufacturing to make up for lost revenue and diversify the sources of income.
We've managed to produce luxury yachts and fishing boats for the local market, and we'll soon begin exporting these to our clients abroad. The tugboat factory will export worldwide. It's next to a fiberglass factory we also established in order to export fiberglass to Saudi Arabia and other Gulf nations.
And the Suez Canal chairman told CGTN that China had played a major role in this project.
We have produced other tugboats from 9 tons pull power to 75 tons pull power in cooperation with China. We produced 6 new tugboats, 3 in Huanzhou, China, and 3 in Port Said City in Egypt.
As for the ones launched this week, they are the first in a batch of 10 others set to be delivered by the end of the year.
All right, there you have it. Now, to move on to the next item is that the Eastern Cape Department of Rural Development and Agrarian Reform has reiterated its call for farmers to form structures for inclusive growth.
Attended the launch. Many have been subsistence farmers for many years, but are now interested in the commercial space. Such engagements are also used for information sharing on how to produce quality red meat.
The strategic objective is to organize the farmers. That is the starting point. The strategic intent is to move away from the subsistence farming to e-commercial farming. But to get there, you need a quality animal. So in the process of the production of these animals, there is feeding, which is better assisted when there is a feedlot, because we can take it to the market and get the value for that, because it will be of high quality.
The Department of Rural Development and Agrarian Reform says such structures make it easier to assist emerging farmers.
So want to help them into growing and graduate from being ever emerging farmers, but rather to join the value chain and become commercial farmers. We've got all officials throughout the world, the extension officers and veterinaries, doctors, so that when they encounter some challenges with their animals or livestock, they get those services on time, and we also provide some medicine for their livestock. We encourage them to keep it like this and encourage other farmers to be united, so that at least they also guard against the issues that they see, that especially the stock theft.
Meanwhile, local farmers say more still needs to be done, as lack of water is still their biggest challenge, particularly for livestock farmers.
I'm a farmer.
All right. Now, lastly, on the international segment is that the Democratic Alliance, DA leader and Minister of Agriculture, John Steenhuisen, says he is confident that the budget that is set to be tabled on May 21st will tackle some challenges faced by the farmers. Now, speaking at the 142 show carnival, Steenhuisen says that the country has been struggling with the foot and mouth disease which has negatively affected the livestock farmers. We might take a listen to this.
Said to be the only show in South Africa to combine entertainment and agricultural activities in one event, Steenhuisen has stressed the need for government to invest more in local economies and tackle some of the challenges faced by farmers. He says the country has been struggling with foot and mouth disease, which has negatively affected livestock farmers. With the budget set to be tabled for the third time on the 21st of May, Steenhuisen says his ministry plans to help subsistence farmers to become commercial and acquire financing. Steenhuisen has encouraged government to cut unnecessary expenditures.
So I'm relatively comfortable with the budget as we've seen so far. Obviously, like any other department, we've got to look at saving money, cutting costs. So cutting out on things like dinners and the like, and focusing on the core functions of the department. I think all government departments now, under budget 3.0, are going to have to look internally to see where they can save costs. Overseas travel, internal travel. We need to spend less money on government and more on our core functions and mandates.
Steenhuisen says the Minister of Finance in his new budget must address how the government of national unity will ensure economic growth and fill the gap created by the reversed VAT hike. He says his party can table a budget that can restore the GNU's credibility.
So what I'm going to be looking for in the budget is growth. How do we get growth going? How do we fill the gap that's going to be created by the VAT arc that's now been reversed, and how we can fill that? I believe we've got some great ideas on how that can be done. But also, I'm committed to putting on the table a costed, credible budget that we can get past the House so we can start to restore some of the credibility that I think we've lost over the last 2 months as a result of the wrangle over the budget.
That was the Minister of Agriculture, John Steenhuisen. I'm Kamohelo Tsotetsi.
All right, it's 29 minutes in the off, 6 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. We can go into a very short commercial break, and then once we return, we'll take you through the local news updates.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From caring.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao otaingongo tisamwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seithani na omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konaraje tatu imu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
All right, the time is 32 minutes in the off, 6 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. Thank you so much for joining, and if you just tune in right now, thank you so much, and a very, very good morning to you once again. Now, to start is that my colleague David Shombe spoke to Justina Jonas, a general secretary for NAMPU, who spoke about the condition for workers and, of course, what it needed in order to contribute to the economic development. We might take a listen to their discussion.
Yes, we are continuing with early morning scoop. We are looking at international labor issues. We are also looking at economic development. However, it is indicated that on the 1st of May, 2025, the workers will celebrate, International Workers' Day. However, today I got into the conversation with a unionist and a member of parliament who has been or is a general secretary for NAMPU. May Justin join us just to engage us in the studio so that we can talk about what's happening regarding, the workers' rights, how the worker have been and all those things. So, Ms. Justin, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, David. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Yes, let us look at the improvement, or let us look at the standard of working conditions in Namibia. If we have to look for the past 35 years, how did the lives of employees in Namibia changed in those years?
Okay, thank you very much, David. There is a lot of debate on the topic as we are going to discuss it today. There are those who feel that there are no changes after 35 years. There are those who are saying there are changes. Being a trade unionist for the past 22 years, I joined the trade union when I was very young, at the age of 25.
Yes.
And when I started, I have realized that there's a lot of improvement as compared to what we have been reading and been told stories before independence. Remember, before independence, many black workers specifically, they did not really have rights at the workplaces. Mm-hmm. It's either now free to join the union, it's either to have the right to collective bargaining, whereby you have a say on how much the employer must give you after they have made profit. In terms of you to be represented at the workplace, either now being a disciplinary hearing or any other platform, of interest at the workplace.
Yeah.
So those rights were not there, and they were limited. Even if they were there, they were very, very, very limited.
Mm-hmm.
But immediately after independence, a law was enacted, that is, the Labor Act was brought to light, which giving so many rights to the employees at the workplaces.
Mm-hmm.
That means that, you know, the issue of freedom of association, it's kicked in. You have a right to join the union of your choice.
Yeah.
You have a right to collective bargaining. So it means that you can tell the employer, come to the table, let's negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm looking for. And an agreement can be reached, and then you'll be given whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a right to question if an employer just to decide that you are now, I will dismiss you. You have a right to say, why are you dismissing me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the platform, a platform like disciplinary hearings, or, you know, if it's unfair dismissal, you have a right to question why you have dismissed me. And if you are not happy with the outcome of the disciplinary hearing, you have a right to, you know, to approach the Office of the Labor Commissioner so that your case is looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And if you win the case, then you win the case, yeah?
Mm.
So those rights, they need to be appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
They really need to be appreciated because it brings some sort of comfort and protection of workers' rights in this country, and it's something we must appreciate. Yes, I agree. I agree, David, that there are issues that some of these rights, all of these rights, not really every worker in this country knows about them.
Yeah.
And some of those who knows about them, they might have challenges because of the scenarios or the environment they find themselves. Number one, they might not know that they have a right to join the union, or they know, but they fear to be, you know, they fear the intimidation by the employer. But it comes with education awareness. It comes with education awareness to say, the moment you are educated that you have a right to join the union and you have a right to question injustice at work, then I think there's nobody ready to intimidate you or to harass you or to victimize you, as long as you know that you are doing it in line of the law which is in place. But I think a lot have changed.
Yeah.
A lot really have changed. I'll give you a very practical example of one certain company, if you allow me, David.
Yes, yes.
That when I joined the union way back, I was just a receptionist, and I was then, you know, promoted to a branch organizer. So branch organizer, what does it mean? You go out and organize workers to join the union.
Mm-hmm.
So you go out to companies, company one, two, three, you organize these workers, you educate them. The moment you educate workers to say, yes, you have a right to join union, you sign them up, you put up a you submit a recognition agreement, and if through those processes, then you realize that the impact you are making in the lives of these workers through that process is that you will find in some companies workers probably used to be paid $700, for example, $700. But if you engage in a negotiation, you know, if you engage in a way of a negotiation, you will then realize that over time, these workers will then, they will be remunerated fairly. They'll be having benefits like transport allowance, you know, housing allowance, you know, all these benefits, medical aid, pension funds, all these benefits.
Yes.
Yes, David.
Maybe Justine, let us look at, the trade union. You have been a trade unionist for a very long time, as you have mentioned. And, let's go to the second question. As a trade unionist, because the union is at the center between the employer and the employees and also government to mitigate those factors, what are some of the common challenge, what are some of the achievements from your perspective, particularly with Manvu? And also, what are some of the challenges, you know, which are still faced by employees, what you like right now?
I think the main challenge is from the, let me start with the achievement.
Yes.
The achievement, I think, at Manvu level, we have successfully to organize, for example, the construction sector. And it's one of the top achievements we always tell, because it's the most difficult sector to organize. So we have managed to organize these workers and come up with the national recognition agreement, which we have signed with the Construction Industry Federation, which is representing the employers. Yeah. And we have managed then to negotiate a national minimum wage for the construction sector. And mind you, David, as we speak now, the national minimum wage of the construction sector is the one of the highest, even more than the one of the national minimum wage of the country.
Okay.
As we speak. So okay. The one of the national minimum wage of the country is $18, but then the one of the construction industry, a laborer only, is over $18. I think it's $18.50-something. By next year, it will be around, by the second year, it will be around $19. So just a laborer. And that is an achievement. Okay. There's so many achievements in terms of education of our structures, in terms of capacity building of our software, you know. These are all things, campaigns we have run in this country, that including the issue of the rights to collective bargain during COVID-19. I think that's what we were one of the union, few unions who were, campaigning against employers who were just wanted to retrench workers left and right because of the issue of COVID-19. That is just a few of them. Coming to the challenges, the challenges in the labor movement, David, will never change. Remember that industries are growing every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And every day there are just challenges all over. You might find yourself today, you are at company A dealing with issues probably have to do with collective bargaining.
Yeah.
But tomorrow you are coming back with an unfair dismissal case.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cycle of challenges which you might not really say, I will finish them once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
Because every day they are coming, because labor challenges, they don't stop. They don't stop at all. You might neutralize them, you stabilize them, but they will still continue coming in, in different ways. But the good thing is that if you have a platform at the company, at the certain company, you will be able to manage them. You will be able to manage them as they come. You are able to manage them so that you bring comfort to the employees, and as well as to stabilize the relationship between employer and employees at the workplace.
Yes, let us look at the national minimum wage. We have understood that from the 1st of January, the national minimum wage was put into effect. Now, looking at your union, and as you have mentioned that you are one of the union who advocated for, you know, increment in terms of minimum wage within your sector, how effective is national minimum wage implemented, particularly regarding that you also have the section of, you know, minimum wage for construction workers? How is minimum wage implemented in your sector?
The sectors, I think construction industry is covered because it's in its own sector. And I think that is well, we are managing it very well in mm-hmm. terms of compliance. Mm-hmm. What we have done from 1st of January, we give it a month, just this specific month of January from our side.
Yeah.
We give it just to see by end of January. We then came up with a plan to say, as a leadership itself, ourselves, the leadership itself, we decided to go in the region in February, mm-hmm. between February and March. Mm-hmm. We were in the region. The aim was to go and engage our structures to find out if the employers in those sectors or in those regions are then complying with the national minimum wage. Mm-hmm. I must tell you, I understand that there are employers who do not want to comply, but in the companies where we are organizing, many of the majority of them, which we visited, and also engage our members, they have complied.
Okay.
Yeah, they have complied.
Okay.
And you'll be very shocked because that's not what we expected.
Mm-hmm.
But also the interesting part, the region which we feared, not in complying of the national minimum wage. We were afraid of the northern area, the Ofo region, and as well as the far northern region, Rundu, Zambezi, the other side.
Yeah.
But we were so shocked that these two regions, we call them political regions because they are combined.
Yeah.
They shock us because at every company we go, we have been told and we confirm that they have implemented the national minimum wage.
That's quite very interesting. Now, tomorrow or on the 1st of May, there's a celebration of International Workers Day. Let us look at, Namibia, where Namibia is facing, and also where the government is also willing to come and take part in development of the country and also upliftment of workers. Now, what in your view, what can the government do to maintain a good relationship between employees, employers, and also itself?
When Her Excellency President Tumbo Nandindaitwa, by the time she was a candidate, and as well as now being a president, I think in her campaign she had been always talking about the welfare of workers in Namibia, and we appreciate her for that.
Mm.
And on top of that, when she did her appointment, she really carefully looked at the person who she appointed. She really looked at the person understanding of how he can able to assist the labor movement or to maintain the relationship between employers and employees. And he have appointed Honorable Wiseman. And I'm telling you that this have bring us comfort from, at the union level. I'm speaking at union W level because we are seeing some kind of a person with principle and who understand the plea of the workers. But then also understanding that it's important to maintain a relationship with the employers.
Mm-hmm.
And this will assist us very well to make sure that the SWAPO party manifesto is implemented in terms of when it's saying that we need to ensure that labor laws are complied with.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing this test. We are seeing the test result of this appointment to date. And also we are seeing David, I think something which was a highlight for me this week or last week when Comrade Nekundi, Honorable Nekundi, went to a site and when he was doing the site inspection, he also included to look at the condition of employment of workers on that specific site. And that is what we want to look at. That is what we want to hear. This is what we want to witness, because it will assist the workers to understand that, yes, this is a caring government. Business is not as usual. We need to do things differently, whereby if workers are exploited, the government intervene.
Yes, Member Justine, just your message to employees in Namibia
Yes, you know, they are going to celebrate International Workers' Day. What is your message to them?
For me, David, is that you and me, we are workers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is our day. We need to reflect, number one. We need to reflect on what have we achieved? What have you achieved at Eagle FM as employees of Eagle FM?
Mm-hmm.
What are the achievements? What have the employer done for you?
Mm.
Yeah. And as you are reflecting, you are also discussing what are the challenges?
Mm.
What are the challenges are you facing at your workplace?
Yeah.
And how do you intend to handle them?
Mm.
My message, and I think I always tell the workers to say, if you want challenges to be addressed, do not just complain.
Yeah.
Seek assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So that you are able to address, because there are platforms. It's either you engage your employer if you are afraid to be intimidated, please conduct the trade unions or conduct the Ministry of Labor so that your issues are attended to. But unfortunately, I always tell the employee, the workers to say, the Ministry of Labor, it's there to maintain the relationship between employers and employees.
Yeah.
But they will not really negotiate. They will not come into your negotiation. But if you have an organization like a trade union, if they can assist you so that you are able to engage your employer on anything which you want to see being addressed at the workplace, that will be my message to say, Namibian workers, organize yourself at the workplaces. Organize yourself, reach out and find out which sectors this union is organizing, contact them, let them come educate you, join the union so that your issues at the workplace are addressed. Because some of the workers really, they are employed by employers who are very, very, you know, they have no mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment they hear you are joining the union, they will start victimizing, discriminate you and all those things. But if there is a body which is helping you to ensure that these things are addressed, you are at the safe side. Let us go and attend May Day in Oshakati.
Yeah.
David, I'm expecting you so that we can further engage.
Yes, I will come.
We are at Oshakati Independent Stadium tomorrow. Let's come.
Yeah.
Her Excellency, the first worker, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, she will come and address the Namibian workers.
Yes, thank you very much, Ms. Justina.
Thank you.
All right, there you had it. The time is 51 minutes in the half, 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop with me, Loite Shimi. Now, to move on to the next item, is that maybe just to conclude where Ms. Justina said, or what we can take from her discussion, is that looking at back then, things have changed in terms of actually, as she said, the minimum wage. She spoke about the challenges, speaking about the rights of the people, the employees, of course, everyone can able to just say out, and then issues can be handled. Justina said. But to move forward is that the Ministry of Justice and Labor Relations, wise Emmanuel, has ordered Omea Investment CC to pay its security employees in line with the national minimum wage relations. Now, this follows an investigation by the Ministry of Justice and Labor Relations, which revealed that the company had been paying its employees eight Namibian dollars and 75 cents per hour, well below the legally mandated minimum. Now, under the current wage order, which is binding on all employees and employers, employers and employees in the security sector, the minimum wage stands at 13 Namibian dollars and 50 cent per hour. So now on this, we can take a listen to on this note.
The Ministry of Justice and Labor Relations has ordered the Omea Investment CC to comply with the wage order on the national minimum wage by rightfully remunerating its security officers. The issue on non-compliance came to light when the security officers read by their representative, Namibia Security Workers Union, held a peaceful demonstration on the 17th of April this year. The union petitioned the Minister of Justice and Labor Relations, Honorable Philemon Wise Emmanuel. In their petition, They indicated that their employer does not pay them according to the national minimum wage and has dismissed plus minus 50 employees and hired new security officers. Investigation by this ministry confirms that Omea Investment CC was paying its employees based on the outdated minimum wage in the security industry, that is $8.75 per hour, contrary to wage order on the national minimum wage that came into effect 1st of January 2025. The national minimum wage prescribed $13.50 per hour for security officers. The wage order is binding on all employees and employers. The employer has, however, indicated that the company did not dismiss any employee as claimed by the trade union, but rather that the employees were on fixed-term contract that ended. The ministry is therefore advising the employees, if they were indeed dismissed as claimed by their representative, to launch a case with the Office of the Labor Commissioner within 6 months period from the date of dismissal as provided for by the Labor Act. Moreover, the findings establish that the employees have not been paid for overtime as well as for work done on Sunday and public holidays. The employer was advised by this ministry to comply immediately and pay any due payments to the employees. Receiving the petition, Honorable Emmanuel assured the workers that the ministry will investigate the matter to ensure that the rights of workers are protected. I quote, "The national minimum wage reflects the government commitment to uplifting the livelihood of Namibian workers. The ministry will take a decisive action to ensure all full compliance because no workers should have to march for what is rightful theirs," marked the minister. End of quote. While the ministry understands that the national minimum wage might have found some service providers, in this case the Omea Investment CC, with already existing contracts with their clients when it came into force, it would like to emphasize that it remains a responsibility for the service provider to ensure that they comply with the national minimum wage as well as other provision of the law without any compromise. It remains the responsibility of the employer to ensure full compliance with the labor laws. Failure to such, the ministry will be forced with not any other alternative but to act accordingly. End of press release.
All right. There you had it. Now, furthermore, my colleague Zafia Basun interviewed Michael Musharelo, a Namibian politician and, of course, social activist regarding the Labour Ministry's ruling against Omea Investment CC.
Good morning, Mr. Musharelo. How are you doing?
No, I'm very well. Good morning to you too as well.
I'm good. Thank you. Welcome to Eagle FM Morning Scoop. So based on the NASW submission to the Labor Law Ministry, it has been found that the Omea has been breaking the Labor Directive on minimum wage.
Yes.
The ministry ordered them to pay their employees the gazetted rate and to also remunerate its employees for overtime.
Yes.
Musharelo, you haven't just been vocal on security panel flight, but you have also led them to submit their grievances to the right authority. What is the significance of this ruling to the affected workers and security personnel sector?
Well, this basically sends a strong message to any and every company that is going to comply with the labor law. Unfortunately, it is no longer as business as usual as it used to be. It now appears that we have a very vibrant minister who is ready to tackle the issues of workers and ensure that the labor law is respected to its fullest. So we welcome this ruling, and we are going to make sure that this particular order is fulfilled. And this is a warning to all companies, not just security companies, all companies in this country. Failure to comply with the labor law, we are going to make sure that such companies are dealt with and make an example of. So we welcome the ruling in its entirety. Omea Investment CC should comply. In fact, what we had done is we had done the privilege of writing to them to say, colleagues, comply. This is what the law is saying. In fact, they fired over 50 50 workers. And they claim that those 50 workers that were fired is due to the fact that their contracts have come to an end. But it's not the case. Those workers were dismissed, fairly undismissed, due to the fact that the only thing that their crime was they asked for, can you please pay us the new rate of $13.50 as opposed to this rate that you're currently paying us? So that was their crime. So now, as a way to sort of silence the rest of the workers, that particular company then dismissed over 50 workers in order to silence the rest. But when we got caught wind of this, we immediately led a protest, and then we petitioned the honorable minister, and then the minister is why they led to them taking this particular decisive decision.
Mm-hmm. Going forward, and with the new leadership at the Labour Ministry, what are your suggestions when it comes to labour-related matters affecting the security personnel sector and others?
So what I would suggest is to say that all employees, whether now current or old former employees, now is the perfect time for us to lodge all those cases that have been pending for years and for them to be finalized. Now, the Labour Ministry must be cognizant of the fact that it is one of the ministries that has been over the years poorly managed, and in fact, it has eroded the trust of many workers. And that is why workers in this country will see them resorting to take the law into their own hands. Remember, we have a matter where an employee shot two of his employers and one sadly passed on at Tsumeb Henning Crusher. Recently, just a few days ago, we had an incident where an employee went to go ask for his remuneration and he was brutally assaulted by his employers who happened to be Chinese. So unfortunately, these things will continue to happen provided that the workers do not have faith in the Labour Ministry. So now it is up to the Labour Ministry to restore that faith amongst workers, to restore the workers' dignity so that workers can now pridefully and proudly go to the Labour Ministry, knowing that when they go and report a certain matter, that matter will be swiftly dealt with. Because over the years, in fact, employers would gladly say, go and report your matter to Labour, because they know they've already bribed the Labour inspectors, the ministers in their pocket. So they would, in fact, proudly say, go and report your case, because they know nothing is going to happen to that particular case, because the individuals who are tasked with the responsibility of ensuring that workers' rights are protected, they are in the hands of the capitalists. Now we are hoping that this new minister won't be captured, because we must be able to understand that capital is very powerful because they have the money. So if these companies again capture this new minister, we are going to make sure that we deal with him if he's captured. But if he's not captured, we are going to give him the necessary support that he needs in order to continue protecting the rights of workers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. Moshelo, and have a good day.
Have a blessed day and happy Workers' Day to all the workers.
Thank you very much.
Today is the day for workers. Continue to rejoice, and we'll make sure some of us that we are here, that you guys' rights will not be violated, you will not be oppressed, and you will not be exploited.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
All right, there you had it. I'm sure just welcome the decision which found the company guilty of violating the Gazetted Minimum Wage Directive. Now, he said the ruling sets a strong precedent, now warning all the companies to comply with labor laws. He also asked the Labor Ministry to maintain its integrity and restore workers' trust in the system. Now, on that, Eagle FM is in the process of getting a reaction from Omea Investment and Security also on the ruling of the ministry, and of course a close on the allegation of the diminishing workers. Now on that, we can go into a very short commercial break, and then once we return, we'll give you more of the economic news. Do not go away.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafasana nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika zeitha nina omayaguro nilanditoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omukwashilipaleki gwimwepo yomooprograma detu moambo dhengela Selma konola hetatu yimwe 33765 oniyali Eagle FM the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 100.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app, here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Dierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Yeah, the time is 5 minutes in the of 7 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. And we'll go into the of 7:30. And to move on to the next item is that the Directorate of Health in the Kavango East region, Inda Mendai, has urged the residents to seek medical attention when feeling unwell, and to cooperate with indoor residual spraying efforts. Now, he made the call on Saturday during the late independence celebration in the Mukwa constituency amid an outbreak of malaria in the region. Now, Andara in the constituency has recorded the highest number of malaria cases at 7,787, and the spraying campaign is part of the region's ongoing fight against malaria and other vector-borne diseases. Now, Mendeya stressed the importance of community participation in reducing diseases outbreak, and she said people in the both rural and urban area often delay going to health facilities, which contributes to the higher number of cases and deaths. Now, Mundaya says the ministry is working to ensure homes are sprayed properly to stop mosquito breeding. Now, community members are shutting their doors to operators, which hampers the efforts. That's what she said. She said the ministry is also running awareness campaign across the town and districts to improve prevention and treatment. Now, those include street walks to engage local governors and raise public consciousness, as well as an active investigation in communities to identify demographic and environmental factors contributing to malaria. That's what Mandaya said. Now, she also noted that more people are sleeping in the field where mosquito bleeds. Now, she linked this to changing weather patterns and said more awareness is needed to shift those habits. Now, she also highlighted the need for across border collaboration, as many malaria cases are reported from neighboring country. Engaging with border schools and communities where cross-movement occurs is crucial to combat transmission and manage shared health challenges between the countries. That's what she said. Now, the Kavango East Governor, Julius Hamunyera Hambuka, said the region is facing a serious malaria outbreak and urged residents to cooperate with health teams. He also asked community to sleep inside treatment nets and eliminate standing water, wear protective clothing, and remain indoor during the peak mosquito hours. I'm calling for unity and action among citizen, healthcare providers and leaders. We must work together to end malaria and save lives. He urged. Now, between the week 45 of 2024 and week 16 of 2025, the region recorded over 13,185 malaria cases. Andera Inomuko constituency had the most cases of 7,787 cases, followed by Nyangana in Ndiona constituency with 2,925 and Rundu with 2,461 cases. Now, 16 deaths have been confirmed. Now we can take a listen to the next item. On our next item, the tourism is one of the important sectors in the country's development, and Namibia is rich in untapped resources, including its diverse flora and fauna, as well as a very good or beautiful destination, and of course, natural features such as deserts and coastal towns. Now, today we will explore how the tourism sector has developed over the past 5 years, along with the challenges and, of course, opportunities it faces also. So now we're joined by a tour guide, that is Mr. Shapaka Gideon, just to rather gain insights into how the sector is currently operating and what is expected from their new administration. A very good morning to you, Mr. Gideon, and welcome to the Early Morning Scoop.
Hi, Louis. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, viewers. Nice to have me.
Thank you so much. We're doing very perfect. Yeah, Mr. Gideon, just take us through or speak to us, in your opinion, how has the tourism sector performed over the past 3 years?
Indeed, over the past 3 years, tourism sector in Namibia has faced few challenges, particularly due to the impact of COVID-19 pandemic, which led to a big drop of visitors in the country. However, there are signs that the country's tourism are recovering. As travel restriction was dropped off, and more tourism return or repeat coming back to the country. The sector has also focused very much on offering and promoting unique attraction, in which have helped to boost the interest of tourism in the country. Since we have so much package, we have so much good package, what we sell or what we market in the country. For example, we have one of the best national parks in Southern Africa, Etosha, and many other parks like Mundumu, Mamili, Babwates. And then other package we sell, we have history, cultures. We have the red dunes, that's one of the highest dunes in the world, and the desert. So that all help us that we mostly recover, and tourism now doing much better, much, much better.
Right. I mean, with regards to the new government, has also emphasized youth empowerment, right? And in your view, how can maybe the tourism industry be expanded to accommodate and, of course, benefit youth or young people?
Well, with the new government, with Mina Tumbo, it show a very good green light. The tourism industry can benefit youth by creating training programs and an internship that can equip them with skills in hospitality. For example, hospitality, guiding, custom service, and also encouraging youth entrepreneurship in areas like ecotourism, local calf market, cultural experience, and also provide job opportunity. And foster innovation, additional involving young people in tourism, marketing and promotion can give them voice and shaping the sector for futures. And just to end on that one, you know, government own the biggest accommodation in the country. For example, Namibian Wildlife Resort, they mostly in all the national park, being Salt Lake area, Tosha, Waterbeck, and other national parks. So NWR can easily expand and train more staff, more young people in those areas of service delivery. Mm-hmm. And because they have so much accommodation, they can also build more lodges and more campsites, and they can expand and then give the job to the youth in the country.
When we speak about technology, how can maybe technology be utilized in Namibia just to enhance the tourism sector as well?
Well, technology, mm-hmm. Because of the modern life, mm-hmm. it can help tourism sector in Namibia mm-hmm. by improving online booking system, making it much easier for the visitor to plan their trips, virtual tours, in reality, like for example, the reality showcase, the attraction, mm-hmm. even before visitor arrives to the countries, can already apply for their visas. Since now we have a visa, which is a new thing.
Yeah.
Social media can also be used for marketing, sharing experience, reaching the wider audience. Mm. And additional mobile apps can provide information on attraction, accommodation, and local culture, and enhancing the tourism experience in the country. Mm-hmm. So it will be really very much helpful and expand and help mm-hmm. our tourism to grow. All I can say is that mm-hmm. the youth, which was to fight for them to get a job, mm-hmm. they need to get a bit of education to understand tourism, okay. and also to help our guests when they travel through the countries. The guests have to feel safe. They have to be really to understand that the people love them in the countries, because Namibia have so much potential with tourism. So our people need to understand and be very helpful in all the corners, so that the guests can talk about us or can have a word of mouth all over the country, the world, so that it improve to expand tourism in the countries. Mm. And I can also maybe just thank a lot of my colleagues, most of the national tour guides. Mm-hmm. We have what to call TAC, Tourism Against Crime, which mostly run by Mr. Peter Bua. This TAC is assisting in each corner of the countries. We are in touch with law enforcement, with the police. Mm-hmm. So whenever I'm driving my bus or my truck and I see something's going wrong with the tourist, with the guest, so we always get involved and help the guests so that mm-hmm. nothing can go wrong on their journeys. So we might just keep doing this, and by doing that, Namibia will be the best in the world.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kidu, for having you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a good day. Ciao.
Thank you.
There you had it. Now, on the next item is that the Namibian Economic Board has closed the borders for importation for only 7 horticultural products on the 20 crops special list for May. Now, on this, my colleague David Chombe engaged the NAB on Namibian Economic Board Horticulture Manager Emily Abraham to update also us on with regards to the cross and open border notice. We might take a listen.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at the economic development, and we are also touching at food security. However, today in the studio, I'm joined by one of the senior managers in Namibia Agronomic Board of Namibia, just to give us perspective, particularly on the notice that they give monthly, particularly on the prediction of what is needed in the country, what is available from local producers, and how can farmers navigate through that. Today, I'm joined by Emery Abraham from Namibia Agronomic Board. Emery, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Yes, good morning, David, and good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be on this platform this morning.
Yes, Mary, let us look at the notice. Let us look at, could you please explain to the listeners the main notice, including which items are closed and which items are open, and what is the purpose of releasing this notice monthly, particularly from your institution?
Yes, thank you very much. And I think in a nutshell, just to explain to all the listeners that the close and open border notice that Namibia Agronomic Board publish every month.
Yes.
It's basically an intervention that is form part of the market share promotion scheme.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that maybe it will be the first time for you to hear MSP or market share promotion scheme,
mm.
just to explain to say the market share promotion scheme, it's a scheme that was developed by the Namibian Agronomic Board within the horticulture initiative schemes of the Ministry of Agriculture. So with the intention to create market access and also promote the sales of locally produced product. So what we are looking at typically is that we want to, number one, promote and stimulate horticulture production in the country, because by then it was only 5% that we were producing. Mm-hmm. And then after the implementation, then we have seen really a significant growth, because as we speak now, we are currently standing at 47%.
Yeah.
And it's now within that MSP scheme where we have identified crops that we see we are able to produce sufficiently at a given time or at a given period of time.
Yeah.
And hence, we then listed those products to be part of the special control product scheme, such that each and every month we monitor the production, and then we then close or we open the border based on the availability of that particular product locally.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at now the notice for mail, because actually what we do is that we publish this notice 10 days before the starting of the next special permit period, which normally lasts for a month.
Yeah.
We then now, I'm going now to run quickly through the notice for mail.
Okay. Yes.
So if we look at the products that are open, we have beetroot, we have carrot, we have potato washed, we have watermelon, we have sweet melon, and we have lettuce. There are actually 7 in total. So what does it mean to a farmer when the products are open? This should trigger you to start producing and focus on products that are always open on the notice.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it means is that if a product always is open on the notice, it means that people, they like this product.
Yeah.
Consumers, they like this product, but they don't produce it sufficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Is it for you to crowd yourself and plant the same crop as for your neighbor, as for everyone in your area? Let us also target products that are not being produced at all or produce little, so that we are able to satisfy the consumer's needs, or also reduce and substitute the importation of that particular product at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Then the products that are closed,
yeah.
We have butternut,
yeah.
We have cabbage, we have English cucumber, we have colored peppers, we have green peppers, we have sweet potatoes, we have round tomatoes.
Yeah.
So I would like again to acknowledge that sweet potato last year we were a little bit slacking because we were struggling to meet or satisfy the domestic demand.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we have been now spreading the news and also using this platform. I think this is one of the platforms I would want to acknowledge, because we are always given the opportunity for us to be able to share with the farming community as to which one is enough, which one is not enough. I think we are picking up that now farmers really, they've listened and they've heeded to our outcry. So sweet potato is now enough, and we hope that we'll keep the same trend. So then there are crops that are open partially.
Yes.
We call it on a pro rata basis.
Yeah.
So we have game squash, which is open on 50%.
Yeah.
Onion, open on 50%. Jam tomatoes, open on 30%. Cocktail tomatoes, open on 20%. And spinach, open on 30%. Meaning that if I'm talking of to say something is open on 50, or 20 or 30, it means that we only allow that particular percentage to come in, and the remaining percentage will be sourced from the local producers. How we implement that is that each and every trader or shop or importer, they are allocated a certain permissible value
mm-hmm.
to bring in, and the remaining they have to bring, to take it for sourcing from our local farmers.
Yes, maybe apart from those items which are open partially, we are looking at those which are closed and also those which are open, which is giving 7-7, which is like 50-50. Let us look at Namibia food production. What advice do you have particularly to farmers to make sure that in terms of
in terms of, food production in Namibia, we are doing the most, maybe to go beyond 70% of, producing locally, because that has been, the question, or that has been the emphasis of, most of the head of the states, particularly the current head of state, who focus more on agriculture, food production, and also youth unemployment.
Yes, maybe just to also clearly indicate that, as I alluded to earlier, the MSP or the share that our farmers are able to claim on the supermarket, as we speak, is only 47%.
Yeah.
And I would want to believe that, I think it's for now, for a long time, that we are stuck at 47%.
Yeah.
So it is high time that we need to increase our MSP percentage to at least 60%. And that is actually part of our vision at NAP.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are looking at is that we want to increase the market share, the market share promotion scheme percentage to at least 60%.
Okay.
And this can only happen when our farmers are producing.
Okay.
So when they are able to upscale their production, because you don't just close the border waking up and then you say, potato is closed for importation.
Yes.
Where are we going to get the potato? So we have to close the border for a specific product when it's being sufficiently produced in the country.
Yeah.
So what we want to do, maybe just to plead with the farming community, to say, please, let us support the products that are highly demanded in the country.
Yeah.
You can also seek advice from us. Our lines are open.
Yeah.
We also have offices in several towns and locations. We have Nongwediva, Otapi, the newly office that was just opened for us to decentralize our offices, our services, and also bring, taking the services closer to the people.
Yeah.
And also we have been Rundu, we have been Katima Murilo, we have been Kietmans, we have also in Vintuk. So we are almost everywhere. So please come to our offices so that we can talk and have a conversation on which type of products you can grow in your area and which products we are actually lagging behind in terms of production. So I think that will help us, because it is always good to start well informed rather than starting just out of blue, waking up and maybe plant a pumpkin, which is maybe probably might not be the one that is needed in the market, and you get stuck. So for us to solve the problem, we need to be well informed, and please approach our offices. You can even call us. We don't have a problem. Our distance should not be a barrier.
Yeah.
So you call us, you contact us, we will be able to be happy to advise you correctly. But just maybe to conclude, to say, we can't talk about economic development, David, without developing the agriculture sector, especially the crop sector.
Mm-hmm.
So we are currently talking of that. The horticulture sector is currently underdeveloped. So we have so many missing links there, here and there. Fertilizer is being imported from outside the country. We have seeds is being imported. So in fact, most of our production inputs, we are getting it from other countries, and actually it makes the sector also difficult. It also makes the product sometimes difficult to compete with that of the outside or with farmers from other countries. So I think if we have to maybe talk, enhance food security, increase production, we also need to look at how best we can also assist our farmers to be able to reduce the production cost, and for them to be able to bring on the table products that are competitive enough for them to compete with the global product.
Yes, Mwemiri, thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us, and also thank you very much for that insight.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, David, and we really appreciate for always creating a platform to, for us to come and have a conversation with our farmers. So maybe just to conclude again, to say, please, farmers, work together.
Yeah.
Let us harness hands and also assist each other here and there, because you can't fight alone.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, hunger is almost like a battlefield, and you can't run around with a gun yourself. You need other foot soldiers for you to be able to fight and defeat the enemy, which is in this case now is hunger. So thank you.
Thank you very much. We are joining you in the fight also.
Please join us. We're actually training in the fight. We like that. We're one of the first two here.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that.
All right. Thank you.
All right, the time is 29 minutes in the of 7 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Thank you so much for listening, and there you have it. We also got, like, know that what's going to happen in May in terms of fruit sector or fruit industry, or actually vegetable. Yeah, and of course, that marks our last update of the day. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Early Morning Scoop program, and I wish you luck. Best of luck for the rest of the day, and enjoy also the unpacking of the day. Do not forget to rather tune in from the rest of the program, and keep yourself informed. And please also do not forget to visit our platform, Eagle FM Namibia, on Facebook, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, as well as the Village Newspaper page on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And do also not forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel just for the daily news updates, and of course the newspaper alerts. And today the newspaper will be also be prepared, and of course tomorrow you do not want to also miss out on the latest or the edition for Friday. So what we have to do is just to send through your details to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. That's a number that you need to save so that you can at least be getting the newspaper. And your details, I'm speaking about your name, your email, then of course you can able to get the newspaper. But then it's only when you save that number, 081-241-44, or whether you can able to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel, and that is now Eagle FM Media House. Eagle FM Media House channel, that's the channel that you need to subscribe, then you can able to be catching up with the daily news update, and of course the most important part, which is now the newspaper, and of course the billers. Please do not forget to rather subscribe, and do not forget to also download the app, Eagle FM app, plus also the Imba app that is now available on your Google Play Store and of course your App Store. Yeah, and thank you so much, and from me, Loisa Shimi, it's a very good day. Enjoy your day.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Omotiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She goes a fast and anana, longish fa, ya, she became a shiwana. E. Moyao, or Tango got his amwene. Anagashi fa, Yanamibia, on the Tom Banawa, or Jika. The Ethanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongashi Fire, Kupira, Mo, Ekele FM Media House. Goe 20 Mimeha, O Kakombanga Nina. Kara on Kwashi Pareki, we may put your more program at the two. Moambo, then get a Selma, or a Rahita Twim, Datunda tu Heri Hamano Tano, or Niaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had
had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.